Hallelujah. This is very scary. When I came in, I came quite early in the morning, and afterwards Mark came. So he was asking me, which microphone do you want? Do you want the one that you tuck in and just there and you can speak? Or do you want the one you can hold? I was like, I want the one that I can tuck in. Because that one is going to do two things. It was going to hide my hand from shaking so that you don't see it. But now I can see now you'll be seeing my hand going like that. So you'll get used as we go by. I think eventually the hand will stop. Then the second one was that I usually talk with a lot of gestures. But I want to thank God for this moment. I'm not one who was built to stand before the people in this way. Yes, I'm an ex-officer, able to command parades, but when I stand here, it's not the same. Amen. I'm thanking God for this moment because, like Mark said, I don't think I had an idea of standing before the people and speaking the word of God in my plans to come into the UK. Amen. And it has been very difficult for us to settle in. And I want to testify, just last week, we were down in our accounts, I can say 0-0, and I mean it. We've gone beyond what we can call overdrafts and whatever. And the last thing that if I'm back home in Africa, it's very easy for me to think of God blessing me through someone. And that perception hasn't really settled well with me here. And God began to do something to change my perception and to show me that He is God. When the kids went to Sunday school and they came back, there was some money in an envelope. And that amount of money, for me, was just a reminder. When we were at our last, even going into negatives, and God came through that amount of money, for me, that's a game changer. Where God is saying, don't put me in a box. You can't box me. I'm a God beyond what you perceive or know or think of. I don't know who that was with as the church or it was an individual. I prayed and I'm still saying, may God remember you and honor you. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you. How many have been to a cell meeting, to a home group here? How many? For those who haven't been, I want you to know that you are missing out. I haven't started preaching. I'm going to preach for 5 minutes. If I do an hour, it's okay. We can sit in. We are living in a times and season that I can say if the meeting is at 12 o'clock, we are at 11:55 in the calendar of God. And it may sound like a joke. We may be seeing things happening the way they have happened in the past, wars, rumors of wars, and all these things, where the hearts of men have been given to wickedness, and the wrong has become the right, and the right has become the wrong. We are in a generation that I may not die, but see the coming of the Lord. Israel was established about almost 50 years ago, and Israel will be entering into a silver jubilee. And that marks something very important in the calendar of God. We may be a generation that may be seeing the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last time I shared in a nutshell about the building of the third temple in Israel, of which everything that's supposed to be put in that temple has been finished. Amen. And you don't have to be a student of eschatology to understand that the Antichrist needs to use that place where he declares himself as God. We are a generation that is going to see that. So the cell meetings, I implore you, this what we do here is just the crowning on the cake. The real thing is in the cell meeting. Mark has been talking about this. It's not Mark. It's the Spirit of the Lord upon the man of God emphasizing and telling us to meet. Because in there, we are fed. In there, we are nourished. We can ask questions and understand more when we are in the cell meetings than we can do here. Here I can speak and probably give you my opinion. But in there, you can ask and say, no, what does the word say about this? We need the cell meetings. There will come a time that we will not have this church because this church will be closed and we can't speak about Jesus. But we will text each other and we will meet in the house and speak the word of the Lord. Amen. The practice starts now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I can preach. Shall we turn our Bibles? I'm going to ask Mark to be... Ryan ran away, so I was even telling him that you're running away because you know what's in for you. I thank God for the church and the way we've been accepted in this church, the way we have been grafted in the church. I thank God for your acceptance. You didn't judge us. You didn't ask us for where we come from. And we just thank God for what he's doing in this place. Thank God. Hallelujah. At least you'll not be seeing my hands shaking. Second Chronicles chapter 26 up to 15. I want to do the word in two different aspects, two different themes altogether. They are not correlated in any way, but I feel that God is speaking to us through these two different themes. Amen. From 26. Second Chronicles.
Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elah and restored it to Judea, after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who was understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now when he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines, God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal, and against the Meunites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army fighting men and went out to war by companies according to the number of their roll as prepared by Jeiel the scribe and Maaseiah the officer under the hand of Hanai, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with a mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared them for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong.
Hallelujah. So, we have heard the account. If you read down the scripture, Uzziah ends up, power goes to his head. Once he is a king, he wants to go and take up the position of a priest in the house of the Lord. God strikes leprosy, the point where he's. Uzziah was a young man that became a king at the age of 16. Can I see the boy, boys and girls who are 16 don't have. Almost coming. How old are you, Christian? 15. Amen. At 15 years old, sometimes we don't even know what we want to do in life. At 16, let alone probably just when you are finishing school in our day, you've got no idea what you're going to do. At the age of 16, Uzziah was raised as a king. Amen. Now, when you read through the scripture, you begin to understand that Uzziah reigned for about 52 years. 52 years as a king. So for the young guys, Caleb and the crew there, you need to understand that God is not a respecter of man. Yeah? Sophie, you need to know that God can use you regardless of your age. Yeah? So how you carry yourself, how you position yourself at school should not be like anyone else. You are unique. Amen. My son, are you hearing me? You're not like everyone else. God is no respecter of man. In today's society, they could have said he's a child. We need someone who's about 40 or 50 years because he's got experience and he's been there. But the Bible picked a young boy, 16 years of age. Amen. And the Bible says, when he began to reign, he sought God. In verses 5, the Bible says he sought God during the days of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah is not the prophet that we know in the Bible. Who instructed him in the fear of God? Now, as a king, you need a prophet to give you counsel. Amen? You need a prophet to give you counsel. We are so blessed today that we have people like Mike that we can look up to. We have got people like Peter Goodchild that can give us guidance, that guide us in where we should go. And if you look at Uzziah, in as much as he was young, as long as he sought God, the Bible says he succeeded. Amen. Amen. He succeeded. Now, there are things that Uzziah did. In his young age, in verses 8, the Bible says he conquered the Philistines and the Amorites. Now, these are the people that were giving trouble to Israel. Amen. They never gave them peace. But when he came, because he was seeking God and he was under the counsel of God, God gave him victory over the army. So as far as Israel was positioned, Uzziah was a representation of peace. Amen? Because the enemies that pursued the Israelites at the time were no more because he had conquered them. So peace is returning in Israel. Why? Because there's a king who has aligned himself with God. Amen? In verses 8, the Bible speaks about the surrounding kings bringing tributes to him as far as Egypt, and he expanded. So as far as Egypt was concerned at the time, as long as Uzziah had aligned with God, as long as Uzziah was seeking God, there was this protection and respect that came upon Israel. No one saw or looked at Israel as just a mere man. But now there was respect. Because there's a king on the throne who has sought to align with God, and it is well with Israel. Amen? As far as Uzziah was on the throne, there was protection. In verses 10, the Bible speaks of building walls. He also built towers in the desert and dug many cisterns because he had much livestock on the hills. So as long as Uzziah is on the throne, there's provision for Israel. There's cisterns that have been dug, meaning water is available. It is well with Israel. Israel is no longer just a small city. It's not just longer a small people that are here, but they have expanded all the way to Egypt. Why? Because there's a king who has aligned himself with God. This message is, I'll try to, there's like a coin, there's tails and heads. who try by the grace of God to flip on the other side and see what is this trying to minister to us. Hallelujah. When you go down, you discover that as long as Uzziah was on the throne, Israel was at peace. Israel had special forces. We talk about special forces today that are highly trained. He trained them himself and he fought with them. So as long as there was an army, in verses 10, Uzziah is a representation of protection. Amen? Uzziah is a representation of protection. I want you to encourage me. I've never preached here, so can you give me some encouragement? Or is it too much? Amen. So as long as Uzziah was on the throne, Israel has provisions. Israel, he's protected. The Bible records of him building borders and building walls. As long as there were fences around, there was no enemy that could come. Israel builds towers over the walls so that their watchmen, before danger comes, there's a warning. And Uzziah makes sure that there's protection. Israel is at peace. There's cattle on the shield. The Bible says he was a man of the soil who loved the soil. So because he loved the soil, God blesses him with the rain. There's a lot of grass and there's cattle and everyone is fed. It's peaceful. So Israel is in a state of comfort to a point where they are sitting on their laurels. In there, there's a prophet. Hallelujah. There's a prophet. But this prophet is still also comfortable. Because everything is okay. Amen. The full manifestation of this prophet has not arisen. Why? Because everything seems to be okay. Sometimes we get complacent because everything is okay. Because Mark is standing in the gap and he is praying for us and it is well. Question is, do we ever desire to stand on our own? Or we need even stand for gap for Mark in the gap? When everything is okay, we are complacent. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose king fears the Lord. If our king is in alignment with God, our nations may be at peace. What happens when the king is no longer aligning? Hallelujah. Brother Mark, can you read for us Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 4?
I need to practice my reading. Six, yeah.
My brother in war, so standing side by side. And we can win this war.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And the year that King Uzziah died, the prophet of God said, he did what? He saw the Lord. So, yes, it was good. King Uzziah was in alignment with God, built the walls, there was protection, there was food, there was peace. Isaiah was a prophet, but he never saw the Lord. Hello? He never saw the Lord. Only after the death of Uzziah, only then does the eyes of Uzziah open to see the Lord. Hallelujah. I haven't been around this church for some time, but I've heard one or time people say there's something that God is doing in this church. Sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zone for us to start to begin to see what God is doing. Amen. Amen. We need to, there is things that need to begin to die within ourselves for us to begin to see the Lord. Sometimes we have these nice jobs and every month a salary comes in our account and that gives us some peace and it gives us some comfort. There's nothing wrong with a good salary, but the question is, are you able to see the goodness of the Lord in that moment? I don't know what your Uzziah is. I remember growing up, for me, I feel like my Uzziah was like my mother. If my mother never passed, to be honest with you, I don't know what God had in plan. I don't think I'll be standing with you here. Because I was stupid. My mother was everything. I want you to hear me. And God in his infinite wisdom had a plan and a purpose. Because everything I wanted, my mother provided. And I want you to know that there's something that God does in our lives and we'll never understand. It was like grief in the moment. And I'm sure Israel must have grieved, must have cried, because the peace, the protection, the safety has gone. But in there, God raises a prophet who directs them. Amen. I don't know what your Uzziah is, but that Uzziah, I think, needs to begin to die, that you may see the glory of God in your lives. Amen. It is interesting sometimes, even as a church, the time that we need to arise. Because as long as our Uzziah is on the throne, we'll not see the light, as long as the Uzziah is on the throne, Isaiah will not see the God seated on the throne. And I like the way Isaiah describes how he saw the Lord. I'm reminded of what the Bible says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Now, I don't know how big this God is, who takes, I can't remember the dimension of the earth. And he makes it a footstool. And the Bible says, and the train of his robes filled the temple. Now, if this God makes the earth a footstool, I want you to begin to, I don't want to be dramatic, but I want to begin to imagine the kind of robe that he wraps himself around. The Bible says he wraps himself in light as a garment. The Bible speaks of the seraphims, which are angels. With their two wings, they cover their feet, because if he is seated on his throne and the glory is covering over, they cannot dare stand on his glory. They cover their feet. The Bible says no one can see God and stand, and with their wings, they cover their faces because they cannot look at God. And with the other two, they fly, and all they say is, holy, 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 holy. I want you to begin to change your perception of your God. You serve a mighty God. Not the God they have pictured in the photos or in the movies. Like, we serve a mighty God. And this picture could never be revealed in the awesomeness of God to Isaiah until Uzziah died. Hallelujah. Church, we need to arise. We need to arise. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. We should not belittle the God that we serve. He is in glory. At the mention of his name, the Bible records of the posts or the pillars that hold the temple shaking. It's amazing sometimes the devil comes in with his lies and we have a God, people of God. We serve a mighty, wonder-working God. If only God can reveal a glimpse of his power, no one will be standing in this place. Tell me who has stood, not God, not God, an angel, when he appears to them. Tell me a man who stood before an angel. In the scriptures, they all fell to their feet and they mistook it for God. And they say, no, I'm just a servant like you. And God? Do we really comprehend the God that we save? This ministered to me. Many of the times that I have a situation and I begin to think, Lord, it won't be. God is changing things. He's more. We have a God who's got all power. All power. He's more than able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ever think of or imagine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we together? I said I'll speak for 5 minutes. I'm an African. That's one thing I didn't mention. So in Africa, our 5 minutes is not interpreted the same way the British interpret their 5 minutes. And like I mentioned, that I'll be touching on two different subjects. And I thank God that there are kids in here. Like I mentioned, the first thing is that, you know, God is not a respecter of man. And he can use anyone. And the Lord began showing us that he started working with Israel through a youth, a boy who was only 17 years old, and he did marvelous things than never in the history of Israel been recorded, and he reigned for over 52 years. We're talking about a youth. So young men, young women, little boys and girls, do not despise yourselves. And connected to that, I want us to take our Bibles and read the Bible in Exodus verses 2. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23. Exodus 2, verses 23. This one I'll read, I'll not trouble Mark. And the Bible says, during the long period, the king of Egypt dies. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groan, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Amen. Now, we have a service today where we have got kids in our place. For me and my family, it has been a tradition. Every beginning of the year, I think from the time I've been married to my wife, we can count how many times we've slept in our house on that transition. That is December 20 or 31st to first, whatever year it is. It has been my tradition. We spend that time in church. We call them overnights back home. Now, what we usually do, or what I usually do, whether my wife is there or is not, I speak over my family for that coming year what I want to see: health, wealth, life, and every matter that concerns me. I speak into that year from that particular moment to the end of that year. Now, that may sound very unspiritual, but I feel like it works for me. Amen. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11 that I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Israel, before they became a nation, God had a covenant with Abraham. And it took a couple of time or a couple of years before the covenant came into being, before the word that was spoken to Abraham for Israel to become a nation was established. Amen. In his infinite wisdom, God begins dealing with one young man, very young man, called Joseph. When Rachel was talking about the children and I hear Mark praying, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is interesting. If only I had shared. I didn't share this word with my wife, nor Mark, nor anyone. But they're talking about the children. And this is what I had upon my heart. Amen. God has a purpose for us. God began to raise a young man called Joseph. Now, Joseph is in the plan of God, but he does not know it. The only glimpse that God gives to Joseph is for him to be a leader among his brothers, to be great. Amen. And yet, God's purpose was not to make Joseph a great man. God's plan was to bring a nation of Israel and bring it into protection and preservation during the time of famine. But God is the Alpha and the Omega. He does not live in the time, he lives outside time. So he knows the beginning before the end. Do not be troubled. He will come through for you. Amen. God begins talking to Joseph and he gives him a dream. And the young man is excited with a dream. And the elder brothers become jealousy and they mess him around to a point where they want to kill him, but they couldn't kill him because they can't kill the purpose of God. They instead opt to sell him. And to Joseph, everything is failing. And it may be the same with some of you today. Plans not going the way they are supposed to go. Me inclusive. But God had a purpose. Because after he takes him into Egypt, he was a forerunner. Joseph began to interpret the dreams of a king. And before you know it, Joseph is serving as a governor of Egypt. And in all this, it looks like it's all just for Joseph's dream. No. It's the purpose of God. God is bringing the children of Israel into Egypt for preservation, because after that, there came a famine for about 7 years. And if Joseph didn't go forth to become a minister and set the platform, Israel would have died like the rest of the nations out of hunger. I want you to understand the importance. I'm not very good with English, but I don't know what else is good beyond importance. Or the hallmark or the necessity of speaking your word over the children. Of establishing a covenant between you and God over these children. Before my children came to being, when my wife tells me, baby, I'm not feeling okay, I think I might be, I would lay hands on her. And I spoke for these kids whilst they were still in their mother's womb. I have climbed mountains and spoken. I have fasted and cried, not just for them, but for my grandchildren, for their children's children. I've spoken a covenant between me and God. Even recently, my son was almost going astray and I said, Lord, no. I remember my wife crying. I don't know how many times she cried, but because the covenant, the Bible says, when Israel cried in Egypt, it's not the cry. It's not the intercession, it's not the prayer that God heard. God remembered the covenant. Sometimes the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God took the children of Israel into Egypt for protection and preservation, not for destruction. But therein, the enemy saw an opportunity to steal, kill, and destroy. As the Lord was preserving them in Egypt, a king who knew what Joseph had done and in the past, later on dies, comes a king who's got an understanding of what has happened and enslaves the children of Israel to destroy the purpose of God. I want you to begin to understand that the purpose of God over your life will never be destroyed. Amen. What God has declared, what God has spoke and established shall come to be. Today we're looking at Mark, who God has raised. Someone spoke a prayer. I never saw Jim, but I'm sure in his closet, in his prayer, Jim spoke a prayer over Mark. Mark, the purpose of God over your life will be established. And I want you to begin to understand. No sickness, no fear, no limitations will stop the purpose of God. You and your wife and your children. If God has raised you, someone spoke a word, that covenant they established shall be established over your life. So it is with all of us in here. Learn to speak the word. The covenant that was established between Abraham and God transcended generations, and God remembered. There will come a time when the children will go away from you. They will find job. They'll find jobs, they'll find associations, they'll join companies, and they may go astray. But the day they'll cry out, the Lord will not hear their cry, but He will remember the covenant that you make today on your knees, and you seek, as you seek God. We saw the kids singing today. This is a seed being planted in them. We are raising up them up in the way of the Lord. But there'll come a time when they may forget and go astray. It is the prayer, it is the covenant that you speak that will bring to remembrance to the Lord to say, I need to deliver them. The Lord raised Moses to deliver Israel, not out of the cry of Israel, but out of the covenant that God had established with Abraham, their father. Angie, your son will come back to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've cried, you've prayed. God is faithful. It's not in your power. Same. It's not, Israel was wicked. Israel had forgotten the power of God. They didn't even know, because 400 years, the only thing they knew were the paganism of the Egyptians. So there was no song of worship. There was no praise. There's nothing. But the covenant, God remembered. And Israel didn't pray. They cried. They complained. When the children are found where they're not supposed to be, and they complain, God will hear because of your prayer. Hallelujah. We are a blessed church. We are a blessed people. We serve a mighty God. There could be things that are working for us, and we become comfortable because everything is okay. Let not that overshadow the glory of God in our lives. If there's something that is beginning to overshadow the glory of God in our lives, it needs to begin to die, like Uzziah, that we may see, like Isaiah, see the glory of the Lord, Him seated in His throne, and the glory covering the temple. And as parents and young men, remember, God is no respecter of man. He can use anyone. Joseph was a lad, but he was a forerunner for the preservation and protection of Israel. Uzziah was only 16, but he reigned for over 52 years. Even after he had gone astray, God still protected him. Amen. And I want you to remember that all of you have a purpose. And that purpose that was established before you were even implanted in your mother's womb, regardless of your age, God will preserve and protect it. And that purpose shall come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. May God bless you.